Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Honor your father and your mother so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you. And from the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter. Then Pharisees and legal experts came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why are your disciples breaking the elders' rules handed down to us? They don't ritually purify their hands by washing before they eat." Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God by keeping the rules handed down to you? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and the person who speaks against father or mother will certainly be put to death. But you say, 'If you tell your father or your mother everything I'm expected to contribute to you, I'm giving to God as a gift,' then you don't have to honor your father. So you do away with God's laws for the sake of the rules that have been handed down to you. Hypocrites." Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are human rules." Jesus called the crowd near and said to them, "Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that contaminates a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of the mouth that contaminates the person." May we receive a blessing in the hearing of these words of life.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be back with you again, and I appreciate Pastor Mia inviting me to come and preach. But before I attempt to preach, let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we gather here to worship you. Send your Spirit upon us this day. Guide us as we seek to hear your word through the human word. Guide me as I seek to try to share that good news of Jesus Christ. And may, as we gather together, experience and grow in our faith and understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We pray this in the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm pleased to be a part of this sermon series, but I have to say that whenever I think of the Ten Commandments, I remember a Jewish rabbi who said that if you're ever going to say one of the commandments, you should always begin with the phrase, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery in the land of Egypt," and then say the commandment. Because God is bringing them out of slavery, not giving them a new enslavement, but giving them a way of life that gives them freedom and wholesome and life, true life. Because we haven't recited the fifth commandment enough that I'm preaching on, I thought we'd say it one more time. Honor your father and your mother. I thought I was going to have the phrase ahead of it about leaving it with God first, but we didn't have it there. But okay, as you look at that phrase, you know, honor your father and mother, that is a way of sharing and caring for your father and your mother. And in the journey of life, what I found difficult in this sermon was, how do you read the Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus? That's where I had some difficulty, because how do you see that through Jesus' eyes? And so I thought, what if I could imagine going to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, share with me your thoughts on the fifth commandment." How do you think Jesus would answer? I have a suspicion. And this is my suspicion. If you look, well, there's the. Do we have the other commandment? What in the next one? There was the one I was hoping to read. Okay, now the next one we got. Yes, in the four Gospels, Jesus asks 307 questions. He is 183 questions. Jesus gives direct answer only to 8 of those 183 questions he is asked. So in my imagination, if I ask Jesus a question, what do you think he's going to do? Do you think he'll give a direct answer? What he often did was ask a question back, or give a cryptic remark, or tell a parable, or tell a story, to allow the burden to kind of think about it for a little bit, to struggle with what it means. And so trying to understand how Jesus would respond to the fifth commandment, I struggle with it. So I found that passage in Scripture that we read a little earlier about Matthew, where some teachers of the law come to Jesus with a question. But even when Jesus addressed the fifth commandment, he do it in the context of a different setting. And so let me set that setting in Matthew. You have the teachers of the law and the Pharisees coming to Jesus. And the question they have for Jesus is, why do your disciples break the tradition of our elders and not wash their hands before eating? That's the question. And this is not a religious question, because basically it's not stated in the law of Moses about washing your hands before meal. What that says in the Mosaic tradition is this. Mosaic law demands that when priests or Levites enter the tabernacle, they must wash their hands and feet. None of the disciples are Levites or priests. They're not entering the tabernacle. Evidently, they're not washing their hands. So you assume Jesus is washing his hands before the meal because he's not accused of breaking the tradition. And that tradition is a man-made tradition that you rinse. It's basically rinsing your hands, not hygiene, but rinsing your hands before you eat. And Jesus obviously did, but the disciples did not. So their question is, why are you breaking this human tradition? Now Jesus responds with a question. Typical Jesus. Why do you break the commandment to honor your father and mother with this human tradition that you created? That if you dedicate your resources to God, they belong to God. And you don't share it with anybody else. God is number one. And even if your parents are in need, you've already given to God and you've put God first in your life. That's the Pharisees' understanding. And Jesus said, no, you've broken the command of God by a human tradition, a custom that you have created. So evidently, it's obvious that Jesus truly wants you to honor that commandment, honor and respect your parents. And to me, when I read that commandment, that's no problem. Because my parents loved me, and there was never any question about my parents loving me. I mean, I have some parents that are, you know, spank, and I get pretty rough with their kids. I was only spanked once. I was in the first grade at Eastside Elementary School in Nampa. After school, our house was about a mile away, and you'd walk down South Caroline Road, get to Amity Road, take a left, and then take a right on Florence Street, and 928 Florence Street was our house. And after school, I would start walking. But I, as a child, I was kind of a dreamer. And I would find bugs, and I would find plants, I would find things. And I'd get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock. My parents were very worried. They'd get, come on, come straight home. Come straight home. It's only a mile walk. And I would try it for a couple of days. Then I'd get distracted. But one day, my dad pulled up in the car, and I was loblolling along, having a good time. He got out of the car. He swatted me once on the bottom and said, get home now. I got in the car. He got in the car, drove home. I had to walk home. I never forgot that. That's the only spanking I got. I probably deserved many more. But you see, when I think of my parents and honoring my mother and father, there's no question in my mind. My dad died in 2003 at the age of 89. My mom died in 2012 at the age of 93. If they had needed anything, financial help, but they didn't, I would have been in there. If they needed a place to live, I would have been there. I'd do anything to help them in life itself. Yes, That was no problem. But now the question is, what if your parents are abusive? I have a friend who was raised by very abusive parents, physically, mentally, emotionally, the whole nine yards. And my friend, his dad was also abused. I mean, he told the story that when his dad was just, hadn't even started grade school, had never had swimming lessons, he and his dad were walking by a canal, and the dad just picked him up, threw him in the water and said, sink or swim, I don't care what, which one, and he walked away. This little kid somehow made it to shore, dog paddling, somehow got there, and he got out. He was terrified of water the rest of his life. The rest of his life. And his dad continued to be very abusive. Okay, do you honor that kind of parent? I mean, if some of my brothers and sisters in the faith, they will say, if the Bible says it, it's true, you do it, no ifs, ands, or buts. It says honor your parents, so you honor your parents regardless. See, I see Scripture a little different than that. Not as a book of law, but as a kind of a guidance. Because if you think about it, Jesus taught so much just by stories and parables, he wanted us to start thinking. I mean, a rabbi once said, in Christianity, you go to Scripture to end discussion. The Bible says it, that's it, no questions asked. In the Jewish faith, you go to Scripture to begin discussion. And I think that is what Scripture is about. You begin discussion because Jesus responded to questions with questions to begin the discussion to try to discern the Spirit of God. I like the way Peter Enns puts it. And this is what Peter Enns said. Close. The Bible's main purpose is to form us, to grow us to maturity, to teach us the sacred responsibility of communing with the Spirit by walking the path of wisdom. It would leave plenty of room for pondering, debating, thinking, the freedom to fail, and that is what it does, to wrestle with Scripture passages. So if you have abusive parents, what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor your parents? And as you go through this, one of the things, and I have to apologize for the one around the screens, I forgot, what does it mean to honor the parents? It's cultures are different. And can we go back and see if this difference? In the Eastern tradition in China, to honor your parents, the traditional practice often involves ancestor veneration, which include maintaining graves, leaving offerings of food and incense at grave sites or ancestral altars, and burying the spirit money to provide for ancestors in the afterlife. In our tradition, in Judaism, Christianity, it emphasizes reverence and obedience with interpretation of honor, often including both emotional and practical care, as well as showing basic respect. To me, when I have an honor, a loving parents, it's easier to show that kind of respect. If you have abusive parents, it's harder. What do you do? What would Jesus have us do? I believe Jesus never addressed that issue of parents that are abusive. But understanding the rest of Jesus' teaching, I believe he would want you to leave that situation as soon as possible. To speak out, to say something. Don't be respectful and honor to people who are abusing you and mistreating you. I think my friend who had that very abusive father, I think he did the right thing. He got out of that family as quick as he could, probably married too young, but got out of that family relationship. And then when he started having children, to me, what's very significant, he began to read voraciously books on parenting, trying to find a different way to parent. And he began to raise his kids without that abuse. He broke that cycle of abuse of generation after generation that was in his family. He broke that. And then what happened, too, is that he forgave his father. He looked back at his father and realized that that's the only way he knew how to parent. He understood it. He forgave him. And one had a beautiful scene took place later on in life that one day his dad was visiting and he was disciplining one of the children. And the dad said, I wish I had known there was a better way. But I was thinking, you know, how difficult it is to forgive somebody who's abused you. And we can probably find more excuses of why not to forgive than to forgive. Annie Lamott, who is a great Christian writer, I like what she how she puts it. She said, by holding that resentment and anger in, it's like drinking rat poison and hoping the rat dies. The only person that's being hurt is yourself. But I think a lot of reason we avoid forgiving because we don't know what forgiving is. Lewis Smead has this list I'd like to go through of all what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness doesn't take away the fact of sin. Forgiveness doesn't take away the memory. Forgiveness doesn't take away the consequences of sin. Forgiving does not mean we excuse the person who did it. Forgiving does not mean we surrender our right to justice. Forgiving does not mean we invite someone who hurt us to hurt us again. Forgiving someone who did us wrong does not mean we reconcile. That is an option, but it is not the primary purpose of forgiving. Forgiving someone who did us wrong does not mean we tolerate the wrong he or she did. That is important to understand. To forgive an abuser does not mean one remains or be silent about it. Forgiveness does not mean that one is an idiot. Trust and forgiveness are not the same thing. One can forgive someone but never trust them again. But forgiveness opens the door with the possibility that trust can be rebuilt over time. I like that litany. That's what forgiveness is. It's not a lot of things that we often associate with, but it's really setting you free. There's two things that forgiveness does do, and I think this is important. But forgiveness is that we no longer carry around what happened to destroy our lives. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to remain someone free and realizing that you are the prisoner, that someone who is set free is yourself. And so as you look at the statement, honor your father and mother, yes, in most situations, yes, it's easy to understand and there's no ambiguity about it. But if you've been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, I think my friend took the right path that Christ would have us do to break the cycle of abuse, to forgive and try to live life and move on, realizing that, yes, you've been hurt, but God has plans for you. Because to me, the God who set the people free from Egypt's slavery, the God is revealed through Jesus Christ, calls us for a way of life that is full and rich and free. That's what the Ten Commandments are. Not another list of laws to do, but rather a way of life, of living that truly is free. This journey is not an easy journey, but the good news in Jesus Christ that God will never give up on us. And as we struggle to take the next step, as God calls us to know that God is with us, helping us, and loving us in the midst of our journey. For me, that is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNY United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.